Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. Today we have with us Rihanna Malia, a transformation coach trained in evolved neuralistic programming and advanced trauma-aware coaching. Rihanna empowers ambitious women to live a confident and trauma-free life. With over 20 years of coaching experience, she has helped hundreds of women find true love, create personal and professional pivots, and overcome obstacles to help them live their best lives. Rihanna is also the co-founder of the Collective Co Institute, a transformative platform for learning and healing. So if that's any indicator of what today's conversation is about, nonetheless, let's get started. So thank you for joining us, Rihanna. This is going to be an incredible conversation. So, of course, I love a good story. And I know before we were hitting record, you were sharing some amazing, inspiring story as well. If you don't mind sharing that again with our listeners, and what got you started into the works that you do today?
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here. So I think for all of us, right, it's that, have you ever found yourself in a moment of your life where you went, how am I possibly going to live through this or overcome this? Like, how is this really happening? I mean, I think for all of us that are practitioners or coaches or in the healing modality, we've all have had our own journey, right? Our own story. And so mine started as I grew up with a single mom and my amazing grandparents, and my dad wasn't really involved. I mean, he was around a little bit here and there. He lived in California. We lived in Minnesota. And then college time came and he was, I'm going to help you with your room and board, your dorm. Awesome. Great. Thank you. Went to college a couple months in. I got a call from the housing office. You know, your bill was never paid. You're already maxed on student loans. So I had a choice. I could either leave school and go back and do whatever, or tap into, how do I still stay here? How do I get resourceful? So I left the dorm. I got three jobs. I found a 5-bedroom house. Who rents a 5-bedroom house to an 18-year-old college student is beyond me. I filled the other 4 rooms. I didn't really go to class all that much. I worked. I didn't really have that college experience, but I did what I needed to do, right? And it was hard. And it was one of those things where it's like, okay, another broken, empty promise. And then I got married very young. I was 22 or 23. And when you're that young, you don't know who the hell you are, right? So there is, and in the Midwest, we got married younger, had babies younger. But I got married, wanted it to be all the things that you always dream of, right? And it was evidently clear from pretty early on that it wasn't. But we had, can we get through this? Can we figure it out? Had our beautiful baby Angel, who was a miracle baby. And then when she was about 6, decided that this wasn't working anymore to even just try to stay together in a friendly environment. So we separated. We got divorced. It felt like we were going to be able to do this amicably. We had a plan. And then it all exploded and it no longer was. And it got really ugly, and which is really unfortunate for both of us, right? So about 3 years after my divorce, and after the divorce, I did all the things. I talked to the therapists. I talked to my girlfriends. I read the books. I just was so focused on Maddie. And so when she wasn't with me, I was very depressed and very sad. And so about 3 years after my divorce, my father had kind of been coming back into my life and our lives. And he had been around more after Maddie was born. And he said, oh my gosh, the timing is perfect. And that winter in Minnesota, multiple times, it was like 40 below zero. And we had horses. And Maddie and I lived in this little farmhouse that was 100 years old in Afton, Minnesota, on the St. Croix River. And you'd go out to water the horses. Well, it was so cold, the metal broke right off of the pump for the water. So for the rest of the winter, I had to run a hose through the window, hook it up to the washing machine, run it out to water the horses, and then snake the hose and leave it in. I cried so many times. It was insane. So when he said, look, we have this capital, we have this magical little family business, why don't you come take it over? I'm going to go do some other things. And it felt to me like the ability to like exhale, right? And I was head of practice development for the largest independent oncology group in the Midwest. And I was coaching and we were doing our thing, but I was tired. And I felt still that uncertainty after the divorce, right? Things just don't look the way we expect them to look. So I packed up my mom, my daughter, 2 horses, 3 cats, moved across the country to California. Didn't know a single person outside of my father. We got here. The first couple months felt like a dream. Built this beautiful barn for the horses. I was running this magical candle company and I connected with Sky Mall and I was excited about all the growth and just being able to have Maddie in school in this beautiful little town at the base of Mount Tam. And something also didn't feel right. And I just want to like asterisk that the people closest to me in my life begged me not to do this because they all knew him and they've been my part of my life since we were children. And I didn't listen. And I also didn't listen to my own intuition, right? Sometimes we want something to be so much that we just ignore it. We ignore the gut feeling. We ignore the red flags. So we got here. It became very clear to me that something wasn't quite right, but I couldn't figure out what it was until one day, I think Maddie had turned 9, November 30, so it must have been December 1. And we'd been here just a few months. And I was in the back room. In the studio, and I heard the door open and I went thinking it was a customer. And all of a sudden, about 7 agents, guns drawn, come into the back room with guns pointed at me, put me in handcuffs. And I had no idea what was happening. So they asked me if I had shipped boxes this morning and had I prepared them, and said, if it's a Sky Mall box, yes, we had other people doing packaging and stuff. So they had actually stopped the FedEx truck, pulled the box off, and had me open it. Or they opened it in front of me, and they're like, okay, there's nothing in here. Apparently, there had been a suspicion that there was drugs being shipped in candles out of this business. And I was just completely floored. Like, this is not really happening. So my dad wasn't even there. He was off with some woman driving her back to South Dakota. This other guy who was there who had been working there. Anyway, it was a whole mess. And so we sat in that studio for hours and hours and hours, and they went through everything, and they had gone to this guy's house and found things. Anyway, long story short, trauma for me. So traumatic, so scary. Now I have moved my child, my mom, across the country. And I had made a promise to Maddie when we left. I will only do this once, right? I will only disrupt your life once. And so now I had a choice. I could either go back to Minnesota, back into our friends and family and loved ones, or I could keep my promise. And so now I had no job, no real family connection, because obviously that was blown up. And the story gets bigger and crazier. But the point is that I wanted to keep that promise to Maddie. So now we're in that moment of what the hell do you do? I can't believe. And I'm living through this. Like, this is insanity. So I had to figure it out. And I did what I did in college, right? I went back to school, essentially, got a real estate license, started a real estate practice, racked up $100,000 in credit card debt, keeping us alive, starting a business. And it was successful, but it took a while, right? And then in the meantime, after this whole thing where I had GA people at my door telling me that I could lose Maddie and that they've been following me and all this crazy stuff. And I just thought to myself, what am I going to do differently? Because I'm so destroyed. Once again, I'm so hurt. I'm so broken. Who does this to their family, right? And I was back in therapy, like I said, and doing all the things and writing letters that I didn't send and trying to work through all the wounds and keep talking about all the old stuff. And it just kept it very alive and front and center. I was never felt like I was like could rest. I was always in fight or flight. I was always either ragefully angry or so sad. And I heard through a friend of a friend about a technique, some quantum healing that had been really powerful for them. And so I was like, huh, interesting. I'm going to give that a try. So I did some work. And in a matter of weeks, there were parts of me I did not recognize in the very best way. which, while therapy is amazing, talking to girlfriends is amazing, reading books is, there's all beneficial. But it wasn't, it was just keeping a lot of that story very alive. And I couldn't move, I couldn't tell a new story if I keep telling the old story. So I did this work and it became so clear to me that this was going to be my life's work. So like that was the moment where I said, how do I take this and make this available to other women who are ambitious, who are driven, who are wanting to kind of be that person in the world that has impact? And how can I help heal what needs to be healed without going back into the trauma that caused the pain in the first place? So that is how I started down the road of creating what became my life's work, and the protocol that I use and the framework that I use with my clients really started there. And then I went and dove in and spent years getting expertly trained in quantum time release and evolved neuro-linguistic programming and getting advanced trained in trauma conscious transformation work. So that is how that's how it all began.
Oh my goodness. What a beautiful story, in a way that, wow, it's shaped you. Mm. It has ups and downs, highs and lows, moments of just what comes to mind is just grit, that courage and strength and resiliency. Because, man, you have like such a profound story, but that many people, if something were to happen, this would be the defining moment. And you had decided to choose differently. You vowed a promise that you held. And that was something that you had learned from not having your father present, is saying, well, he never kept his promise. And that's not me to repeat that cycle. So I love that, because that's definitely something of courage and strength as well. But knowing that, I mean, it felt like everything was going against you, and you could have easily given up, given in, and chose some alternative route. So my question at this point is, like, what did you need to dig into and anchor into that gave you that strength and that gave you that confidence and courage that said, I'll be damned, I'm going to figure this out, and I'm going there as a mother, as a promise keeper, but I have something to prove and to show that I can make something of myself here. And you've been here in California now how many years later?
11 or 12. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's see, she was 9. She's going to be 21 in 12 days. So yeah.
Wow.
And I'll answer your question, but just like on when I look back, when you just asked me that, and I think back to a year ago, last 2 weeks ago, I ended up doing that work, staying, doing the work that I needed to do for me so that I could clear out all that old stuff and actually create the life that I wanted. And I didn't really believe, quite honestly, that I would ever find my person, mm-hmm. my person that would love me for all the crazy baggage that I was going to bring, and love me for the fact that there are certain things that are really important to me that I wasn't willing to give up again. And a year ago, I married the greatest love of my life that I never thought would happen. And it was as a result of doing this work. So when you ask, like, what did I anchor into? A lot of what you said around keeping promises was it for me, right? So I had a single mom who worked really hard and took care of me and did the best that she could. And there wasn't, you know, there was moving around and there was different things. And there wasn't that sense of, like, as a child, of just simply getting to be a child. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And again, not blaming, not saying, oh my gosh, you do the best you can with the tools that you have. And it was so critically important for me to break all of those cycles with Maddie. So what anchored me was that. And I've always known, and I've always been driven. I mean, I've had crazy amounts of jobs multiple times in high school. I was like, I want to do more. Okay. So I had, you know, 3 jobs in high school, 1 at a clothing store always. So I'd get the 50% discount, never brought home a paycheck from Contempo Casuals, but damn, did I look cute. 1 at a restaurant so I could make tips, and then usually some like random side thing, because I've never let myself be in the place of, well, this is what you have. This is what's being given to you. So that's your boundary. I'm like, nope, I'll make more. I'll figure it out. So tapping into that part of me who is at the core of who I am is very resourceful and very much like, I'm not going to not go to the beach and travel. I'm not going to not experience the things I want in life. I will just figure it out how to make more money, get more time, whatever it is. So taking that piece, tapping into that resourcefulness and knowing that really who I am in this world is a magnet for miracles and trusting that and leaning into that because, right, everything that's wrong is always available.
Mm-hmm.
And so is everything that's right. And it's really about switching the focus, you know?
Right. That's that power of choice. Yes. Oh my goodness. I love this because you taken that and you said, wow, this is not the life that I want to repeat. So I have to do something different to change the trajectory of not only my life, but my daughter's life. So she doesn't have to carry what I've been carrying all these years. And so you brought up a point that I want to touch upon where you said, I was tired of talking about the old story. It was hindering me and I could not move on to create a new story if I kept repeating those old patterns and those old stories and those old lies. I love that you said that because I think so many of us live in that space where even when we tell our stories, we don't realize that we're opening up a can of worms per se, like where you keep repeating what was, but it robs us of what could be if we're not cautious, right? So I want to talk about that fine line. So I know that you touched upon it, but I'd love for you to break that down for our listeners.
So I'm going to use divorce as an example or a failed business, right? I've had both. So either one, whatever resonates with you as you're listening to this, you have this idea of what it looks like and we get really attached to that outcome. And then it doesn't turn out that way. And then there's shame and there's sadness and there's fear and there's guilt and there's anger and there's all these things around it. And when we feel wronged or we feel hurt or this thing has happened that did not at all match up to what we wanted or expected or anticipated, sometimes there's a bit of a payoff, right? To talk about it because we get sympathy or attention or people want to like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I can't believe you went through that. And a lot of times, honestly, that secondary gain, and we talk about this a lot in my practice, but it's unconscious. It's not like an actual conscious manipulation, but it drives why we stay stuck is that there's a payoff. There's something that's coming to us that's a bigger gain than getting out of the problem itself. And usually it's not something that people are aware of necessarily. So if you think about the way that the unconscious mind works and the brain and universal law, what we focus on is what we, and that's just truth. So it's not about just that, positive thinking, because most people will say I'm a positive thinker, but if we really look at their thoughts, they're always mostly thinking about the things they don't want. So to give you an example, as humans, we think between 65,000 and 85,000 thoughts every day. 90% of those thoughts are recycled. They are the same things we thought yesterday, the day before, the week before. They're things that we think about in the middle of the night. And 75% of those thoughts are negative. And people will say, but I'm a pretty positive thinker. But our brains are wired the way they're wired, and we're mostly thinking about what we don't want, right? I don't want to be in this situation again. I don't want to be in this financial mess. I don't want to be in another relationship where I'm not loved or cherished. I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. And that's what keeps people stuck. So when we are in the energetics of the story, when we're speaking the story, when we're telling somebody the story of, can you believe this happened? I can't believe he did this, or I can't believe this happened, or this business partner, or whatever, that neurology, that focus is alive at a cellular level because memory is not in our brain. Memory is held at the cellular level in our unconscious mind, in our body. And it is impossible to create when you're stuck. That story becomes who you are. And you get to be right, but you don't get to be happy. So you get to choose. And so staying in that, like going back to it, right? When my clients come to me, I'm like, I love and appreciate you and the context, but it's irrelevant. Like we're not going back into the story of what happened, you know, what your ex-husband did or your business partner did 10 years ago. It doesn't matter. And in fact, it will hinder your healing. So to be able to tap into the unconscious mind, release all of that built up energetic weight attached to anger, sadness, fear, guilt, and shame without going back into the story is the method.
That's amazing. And so my next question is, how?
So it sounds all well and good, but like, how do we get there?
Because I mean, full disclosure, I've been through therapy, and every time I go to a therapist, they always want to know, tell us about your childhood, tell us about, and I'm like, come on, I feel like I can never move forward because I keep reopening the same things, even though there's closure with healing, but we're repeating that. So when everything that you just shared, the how is the question that comes to mind, because I want to be set free, and I'm sure our listeners want to be set free. And it's like, how can we move forward? Yes, the pain is still there, but when we keep speaking that, aren't we essentially speaking those hurts and those pains and reopening that into existence? Right? So yes. Then, okay, let's get to the juicy. How do we do this?
How do we do it? We do it using, like I said, my framework is very simple. It's three steps, three stages. It's nine steps, and it's very fast. So the work that I do is very fast. It's weeks, not months or years. But we start with like massive amount of diving in. And that first work, that first part of the work is the only session that feels a little like therapy. And it's quantum linguistics, me asking a lot of questions and you answering. And not so much about story in the past, but like getting underneath what is there. So where you are and getting crystal clear on where you want, because most people have no idea like what you really, really want and what it looks like on the other side of this work. So what are you doing, not doing differently than you're doing or not doing right now? And that's becomes the evidence procedure and the metrics. But so we deep dive, we find out what's underneath. And I'll tell you, secret hint, it's usually an unworthy, powerless, unloved, fill in the blank. Then once we can understand that, then we can do a dysfunction detox. So all the programming, all the behavior, all the strategy, all the neurology that you've been doing, which, by the way, most of which has come from something between the ages of 0 and 7. So we made a decision or multiple decisions as a child, which has been running our operating system ever since. So any of those limiting beliefs or those limiting decisions, or when we look at cycles and loops and behaviors, it's really, really fascinating to look at that. But so once we do that, we can actually then do a full dysfunction detox and get rid of and blow out all of that stuff. Then what we do is quantum time release. So this is a magical experience. It's about 3 hours. It's a completely unconscious process. And when I say that, I mean, you're not unconscious, but we're tapping into your unconscious mind, right? So 10% of our mind is our conscious mind, and it's our goal setter. We use it every day. It's everything that makes us successful. The other 90% of us is our unconscious mind. That's the goal getter. That's the operating system. That's the general. And most importantly, it is the literal library of everything you've ever experienced in your entire lifetime, held in a cellular level. So what we get to do is go in and release all the built up negative charge. So I want you to think about a ribbon, or if you grew up in a horse barn like me, you're going to think about twine or a piece of leather, whatever it is for you visually. And I want you to imagine that every single time since birth that you've had a significant emotional experience with a negative emotion, and they each have their own ribbon. So let's start with anger, that there's a marble that goes on that piece of ribbon or that twine. So today, something happens that makes you angry. It's not just the thing that made you angry today. It's the 40 years of marbles behind it that causes that charge and keeps us tethered. So in quantum time release, it's a multidimensional technique. So we are able to release all of that built up charge of all of the marbles in that order: anger, sadness, fear, guilt, shame, and then whatever limiting beliefs and decisions that we've uncovered. And we get to do that in a way that does not require or actually even allow you to go back into any memory. We're not going back to when you were 5 and somebody hurt your feelings and you were sad and we have to release that. We're not doing that. This is all unconscious, no memory of it. We get to release it, transmute it, get the learnings of who we actually are, like the truth of who we are. And then we get to future pace and actually create new relationship with those emotions going forward, which gives us a completely different future than we had 3 hours prior. So once we do that and we have that release, then we are ready to receive what's meant for us, right? We have to clear to create. So this is where I think a lot of work stops. So there aren't many people in the world that do quantum time release, but in any kind of work where it's like, okay, awareness and clarity, amazing. And then what? So you have all of this awareness and clarity, and now you know, which is incredible, but what do you do with it? You need to have the skills to go with the knowledge so that you can actually create the life that you want instead of just wishing for it. So now we've gotten rid of everything that no longer serves you, healed what needs to be healed, released all of that weight attached to negative emotion. And now let's replace it with new behavior, new strategy, new neurology, and actually set you up. And we do a thing together where we reverse engineer your goals and then install them on your timeline. So there's the experience of having experienced it in the moment with all the senses so that you have a blueprint. So from start to finish, we're together. We clear it all out. We create it. And then we ignite the reticular activating system in the brain to be laser focused, to find and pull in those people and resources and experiences to make sure that you actually accomplish this and you live that life and you have that love and you achieve those goals in a way in which would not have existed before.
Beautiful framework. I'm jotting all these notes down. I feel like I just went through class. This is the thing. Okay, so
I just created a 27-minute masterclass that's actually just, I just finished that, to be able to share with people, like kind of walking through that journey to really be able to understand what that looks like and what it could look like for anyone.
Right.
So that will be around.
Wow, this is incredible. So from my notes, and I probably missed a few, so I just want to recap here.
Yeah.
Massive diving in. So we have to really get underneath to where we have to figure out where it is that we absolutely want to go. But it first starts with where we're currently at. So we have to accept that and deal with the what is underneath. And like you said, for many of us, it's that feeling of not enough. So whether we're unloved or we feel unworthy or we're not seen or we're not heard, we just don't feel visible in a world where we can fully be accepted for who we are. Dysfunction detox, which typically stems between ages 0 and 7. And that's where we find those repeated behaviors and our thoughts starting to take shape and form. And so now we start to align as we get older. Those have been the foundation of where we've built our pathways, right? Mm-hmm. Quantum time release is, that's where we typically go into responding and the release aspect of it. So we operate typically out of 10% of our subconscious minds, or of our conscious mind, while the rest of it is our subconscious mind, because we're just on autopilot. We're essentially sleepwalking through this life that we have such potential that if we're not aware of what's happening, we're just going to just follow the lead of our unconscious mind. Release the emotions. So we need to release anger, sadness, guilt, shame, which are 4 of the big binding emotions that hold us stuck and captive into our own spirit and where we can go with this life.
And fear.
And fear too. Yeah. So 5 emotions there. And so when we release, we're able to find what is meant for us. And that is the clear to create. So when we're able to let go, we're able to heal. We're able to release the weight of those behaviors and those thoughts and those habits and actions and the things that have been holding us back. So in order for us to create anything that is positive and for us, we have to let go because of our capacity, right? So we're at max capacity. How do we do that? So obviously we go through this framework, and then we talk about the reticular activator system. So what our mind will seek, we'll find. And one of the exercises I learned like early on was like, for example, look around the room, find the color red. You're going to find it. But you wouldn't be looking for blue or green or yellow or any other color because we're focused specifically on looking for red. The same approach is if we're looking for a way out of our situation, but we're still holding on to that past or that experience or that thought. We can't let go. We can't be clear to create if we're still holding on to something that is binding and keeping us stuck. Did I wrap this up? Did I recap this?
You did a great job.
Oh, yes. Awesome. I passed the exam.
You did.
But oh my gosh, listeners, this has been
What Rihanna just shared right here is the framework, and obviously so much goes into it. When we talk about the quantum pattern protocol, what that is really shaping our current versions in this real time. But for our real time, we have to release what was a version of us. And so that's essentially what you've done to recreate this beautiful life that you have, that you shared before we hit record. You just celebrated your 1 year anniversary on your second marriage to the love of your life. And had you not gone through these experiences, had you not had all these mishaps and misfortune, the other people would just say, well, that's my story. That's my life. This is the cards I've been dealt with. You chose that alternative. You said, no, I will not be a version of what was done to me. I'm going to flip the script, and everything that was done to me is now something I can use to empower myself, my daughter, and that will be a new story. So now this is, how can I flip that and use it for me? This for me becomes your purpose, your life's work, and your mission and your message, so that you say, no, that was, but that doesn't have to be. I'm no longer settling. I'm creating a new path, a new version, and a new story of one that is of strength, resilience, courage, and confidence. And that's what I hear in your beautiful story. Wow. So carry on. Oh my gosh, you are just like filling us.
What you just said is so important, because I would say 9 out of 10 women that come to me, they're like, well, I don't think it's probably possible for me. I'm probably just one of those people that fill in the blank. Isn't going to ever find my person, isn't going to have the business I want, isn't going to have the success, isn't going to have whatever it is. And I hear this over and over and over. And part of that is because they've done all the things. And these are smart, intelligent, you know, people. This is not like somebody that's just like laying on the couch thinking they're going to magically wake up and everything's going to be different. Like, they're doing all these things. And so it's really important to understand and to hear this. It's not your fault. You are very intelligent. You're emotionally intelligent. You have the desire. You're driven. You're seeking. You're willing. If you could have figured it out on your own, you would have, right? So this, you haven't done anything wrong. And it 100% is possible for you. But being able to tap into that other 90% of you, that your unconscious mind, which is where everything happens, you can't do that on your own. And it's not hypnosis. It's not any of that. Like, we're not, it's not that. It's being able to tap into that other 90% that is that library, that is that general, and reprogram the operating system so that you get to tell a different story. And no matter how much you've tried, what you've done, everything else, I honor that. And it hasn't been for naught, but this is the thing that is going to help you stop spinning in the salad spinner, in those cycles, in those patterns, and be able to actually create something new.
Right. From what I hear, you have to disrupt the pattern. It's basically throwing a wrench in the wheel, because it's just ingrained. It's been on autopilot. It just goes. And I think when we get into really the science and psychology behind it, which is probably a topic for a whole nother day, because it's so deep and vast and wide, especially in that area, is that we're reprogramming new pathways that will empower us to create new versions, but more importantly, a new vision for our life. And so when we have that vision, that's where we have something to shoot for. That becomes our North Star. So for us to get there, we have to essentially let go of that former version of us. And even when we let go of that version of us, it's this new and discomfort. Yeah, I guess it would be discomfort. And the stretching and growing into this new version, which almost could seem more scary and painful than it is to just stay stuck and relive that familiar story that we have been ingrained in doing. And I think, pulling from my own personal experience, man, I've witnessed that on both sides, because yes, I lived with this traumatic story. And I mean, there's lots of stories. We all have trauma. We have big T, we have small T, we just have life's experiences. And while I've carried that for decades, and I could tell it like the back of my hand, that's how well I know the story, I got to the point in my life where I just sounded like a broken record. And I hated it. I hated having to tell that story, because that story was no longer going to define me. And I didn't want sympathy or empathy or pity or any of that stuff. I found myself telling that story because I was so determined to get unstuck. But in that unsticking part,
I was stretching and growing, and they don't call growing pains for nothing. That stuff sucks. It feels like you're being ripped to shreds, but at the same time, you're just like, this hurts so good. Because there's so many good things that are coming out of it that sometimes you have to embrace that pain. But are you willing to go that extra step to embrace and endure more pain to break through and get on that other side? And that's the question I had to ask myself. And I said, I'd rather experience a full growth and transformational pain to know that I could come out a better version of me to release what was and embrace this new. And I have no idea what this new is. And that sometimes is very scary too.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, because I think it's really important, that everything that you said is so true. And this work doesn't actually have to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
This work actually gets to be quite painless and peaceful. Now, there are some things that are going to come up and that are not. Yeah, there's some stuff that's hard, but not much of it. Because in the way in which we do it, it's designed to not go back into the story. And when you were sharing on the other side, right, of like that pain, because yes, the unconscious mind, it's always easier to stay in the trauma we know than to step into the unknown, right? The unconscious mind is designed to keep us safe. It's why anytime we step into a place of growth or transformation, we have an amygdala hijack because the voice in our head gets really loud. I don't think this is the right time for us. I think we should wait a little longer. Let's read another book. We're going to do that course. Like, let's just wait, because it's freaking scary to step into the unknown. But on the other side, that version is where you get to fall in love with yourself again. And it's where you get to trust yourself. And it's where you get to confidently hold boundaries and expertly communicate your needs. And in my opinion, most importantly, you get to deepen the richness in every single one of your relationships. With your kids, with your friends, with your business partners, with your spouse, with your future spouse. It changes everything.
It really does. And I'm going to echo that, because that's exactly what it was. For me, the scary part was doing that. And yes, it was painful for that point. But the more you step into that, you embrace growth, you embrace change, and it becomes less and less and less and less. And it just becomes second habit at this point. Because every time now a new challenge comes up, I'm like, oh, I'll just figure that out. Like, the learning curve gets lessened. The pain gets lessened. The experience gets more quickly. You can get to that other side. So yes, I want to double down on what Rihanna said. Not every change and growth and transformation has to be painful. There is a pain, just like a learning curve, but it gets easier and easier, because essentially you are cutting the cord from what you've known for all these decades or all these years, whatever that is. But to embrace something new is the same experience. And I think for what I read somewhere or heard somewhere, that it's the same emotion of fear and anxiety is the same in your body as it is for joy and excitement. It's just channeled differently. So of when I was like, oh man, I'm so scared, I'm stepping into this unknown, probably my first go at it, right? And now it's just like, oh, look how exciting in the other side. So I never look at it as this fear of change. It's this embracement, like, man, if I can overcome all these things, there's going to be something new and exciting on that other side. And that's the shift, the change of our perspective and our paradigm. And it, I tell you what, on that other side, man, it's just, you wonder, like, why didn't I do this years earlier? But you didn't know what you didn't know. And now you do. So you do things differently. So I love this, Rihanna. You are really taking us on this deep dive lesson. But I've never heard of a quantum pattern protocol. But you would also said there's not
many. Well, that's because it's my IP. It's my protocol. That's why you've never heard of any.
Right. But I mean, the quantum pattern aspect of it, because you had said not many teach that. And this is new to me as well. So I just want to thank you for schooling me on this. So I know as we wrap up today's conversation, and gosh, I encourage all of our listeners right now, go back and re-listen. And while you're taking notes this time, start applying your story and your experiences into the framework that Rihanna graciously provided for us. And start doing some of the work on yourself, asking those questions. Think about moments and situations. And of course, obviously, if you need additional help, Rihanna is obviously your go-to woman who has built this IP and has framework for you specifically. But as we wrap up today's conversation, I would love for you to kind of bring this full circle, anything that we haven't talked about or things that you feel would be value add for today's conversation.
I think just the most important thing for me and my commitment to wanting everyone to literally be able to live your version of your very best life is to really understand that we have to clear before we can create, right? We have to clear the patterns to create the partnerships. We have to clear the shoulds to create the cans. We have to clear the loss to create the love. We have to clear the resentment, right, to create the results. And I have created a bunch of things. So my website is full of all of the framework and all of the things that we talked about. But also there is a page on there called a gifts page. And there are resources that I've created to help you start doing this work right now. And so I encourage you to go there. Look at, there's a values-driven decisions guide to help you get really clear on what's important and how that's going to guide being able to make clean yes and clean no decisions as you move forward. And a journal to help you fall in love with yourself again. And of course, a masterclass that walks you through a lot of what we talked about today in a little bit more in depth so that you can take that and immediately go take that framework and start to shift your life.
Beautiful. So obviously today's episode was pretty thorough and worthy of going back to listen and take notes. So Rihanna, how can people find you and connect with you and learn more about all this incredible work that you're doing?
Yes. So my website, rihannamalia.com, R-I-A-N-A-M-A-L-I-A. And then of course on the socials. So Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube are all at Rihanna Malia. And so find me there, connect with me there. Definitely on the website, sign up so that we can connect. And I send stuff every week in my newsletter that's actionable. It's not just a lot of fluff, but ways in which I can help you take this into your life.
Awesome. So of course, all that will be in the show notes below. Again, be sure to reach out to Rihanna if this resonates and let her know this is why we do what we do, to pour out our hearts, our passion, and everything that we have learned and give back to others. So thank you so much for joining me today, Rihanna.
If today's episode resonates, I invite you to check out the Confident Woman Starter Kit. This amazing bundle will help you dive deeper into your journey of self-discovery with confidence, clarity, and purpose. So until next time, take care and remember, you have the power to create your own story.
Hey there, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.